We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
You know, we've been talking about trust falls. I've been liking this whole situation that we've been going through as a trust fall. We're not certain of tomorrow. We're not certain when this stuff is going to change. We're not certain when there's going to be certainty. And it's kind of like a free fall, isn't it? This feeling of, yeah, that feeling. And I was thinking about the trust fall, and many of us know the trust fall. I think we have a picture of it. It's when people just totally entrust their well-being as they lean back and just fall and relying on the hands behind them. And we've been the last couple weeks talking about how we can trust God's hands. Even though we feel like we're falling, our God is a good God. And even though we feel like this situation may not have happened prior or we've never experienced it and it brings out all sorts of things in us, our God is still good. And so in this trust fall, we were talking last week about how to stay faithful in the free fall. And, before I jump right into it today, there's this thought, the times that we're feeling or that we're living in, we feel like we're in free fall. And sometimes we wonder if something like this has ever happened before. We hear a lot of people say unprecedented. That's a word we hear a lot, unprecedented. In our lifetime, it seems unprecedented. But in God's all-knowing, this is not unprecedented. In God's omniscient nature, in God's Alpha and Omega nature, in God being the beginning and the end, in God living outside of time, everything he sees is not new. The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. And so, did you know this isn't the first time this has happened? History tells us otherwise. And I love this quote. Listen to this quote. It says, historical illiteracy leads to the everything happening now is new fallacy. Past is prologue, context is balm. Without it, all is panic. What am I trying to say to you? If I don't understand that this has happened before in history, if I don't understand history, everything will be panic. But if I understand that this isn't new to God and it's not even new to the earth, even though the strand might be new to the earth, God is still God. And we don't have to live in panic. I don't want you to be a thermometer Christian where based on the temperature around you, you change where you are, how you think, what you believe. Your faith level goes up or down based on the circumstances around you. I want us to be thermostat Christians where we just turn up our faith. We get into the word. We lean in. As we draw near to God, he draws near to us. That means we can lean in and get more from God. And I'm telling you, this is the thing that keeps us not just panic-free, but sane. And so we need to understand, not only have we seen pandemics before, but we've actually seen God himself teach us using quarantine methods in the Bible. What? So you're saying that there's something in the Bible that's applicable to my today? Yep. One of my good friends, Pastor Rick, and I were talking just last week about this very subject. And if you've got a little free time on your hands this week, why don't you read some of these scriptures? I'm going to throw them up here. These are scriptures that they're God's instruction on hygiene and sanitation and quarantine. And they're red, so they should be on the screen, but I do not see them up there. So I'm going to read them to you. Leviticus chapter 13 through 15. Numbers 31, 19 through 29. Deuteronomy 23, 9 through 14. If we look through this, listen, a casual reading, again, Leviticus chapters 13 through 15, Numbers 31, 19 through 29, and Deuteronomy 23, 9 through 14, reveals that God taught hygiene, sanitation, quarantine, and isolation regarding disease. So I'm telling you this just simply to kind of to slow down the swell of panic. And also, listen, this is not the government attacking churches. These are God's requirements for preserving health. Right. Read the word. It's not like this has never happened before, okay? And so I just needed to say that before we got into part three, okay? Okay. So today we will continue to talk about staying faithful in the free fall. And just so that we're all on the same page, we're continuing part two from last week. Number one, I went over, we have to overcome fear by building our faith. That's a necessity in this time. Number two, we have to trust God's word over the noise. You're going to hear a lot of things, and the people you choose to listen to, like a radio dial, who you choose to get involved with, what stations you choose to listen to, if you choose to listen to it at all these things, as you tune to, you turn the old school dial on the radio and something that's clearer and clearer, you're going to have to decide which of those things you're listening to, because it's the same way with God's voice. We're going to have to tune in. We're going to have to lean in. We're going to have to left a little bit, right a little, get into the word a little, and make sure that his word is over the noise of our world. You got to stop that chatterbox. Number three, defeat anxiety with proximity. Again, we talked last week about how if we draw near to God, God draws near to us. What does that mean? It means that I have the ability to lean in even more and receive even more. Did you hear that? So the depression, the anxiety, the panic, everything the world's going through right now, God says, just lean in. God's saying, I'm faithful. God's saying, I'm good. God is has the ability to give us peace that surpasses understanding. He has the ability to calm our storm when we're in the middle of the storm. And so lean in. And number four, we need to allow worship to become our stabilizer. I posted something this past week on social media just as an encouragement to stabilize your spirit. See, if we stabilize our spirit, the free fall, it allows us to secure ourselves. We may still be falling, but we're not falling like this. We're not tumbling. We're ready for God to do whatever God's going to do. And we stabilize ourselves by prayer and worship. Are you ready for number five as we continue? The four people in this room are ready. Hopefully you're ready at home. Number five, we need to allow growth to become our focus. Allow growth to become your focus. In this time, where we're living, it's easy to just focus on here and now. If we just focus on today, it's going to be trouble. Why? Because right now, when you look around, it looks like trouble. But listen, in all situations, there's a silver lining. In this case, we have the opportunity to grow in spirituality. We have the opportunity like this. It's like the time of gym for our faith. You guys used to hit the gym. You know, now no gym is not so cool no more. That's all I'm saying. But listen, it's the gym time for your faith. Times of uncertainty make you use faith muscles that you haven't in a while. We have the ability to focus on our spirit, man or woman. We have the ability to focus on our soul. We have the ability to make sure this time is about growth, not just about surviving. You know, the concept, we don't want to survive through this. We want to thrive through this. We want to come out the other side stronger than we ever have been before. Hebrews 5 tells us this: you have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. Can I tell you, I don't like when anyone calls me a baby. I don't like when the Apostle Paul does it. I don't like when anybody does it. But we have the ability to choose to grow through this. We can actually decide that I'm not going to be driven by my outward feelings, by my inward feelings. I'm not going to be driven by the news today. I'm not going to be driven by the things that are happening around me. I'm going to get in God's word and let it come through me. I'm going to breathe his word in and I'm going to exhale peace. I'm going to be calm. I'm going to understand that God is good. I'm going to choose to dig in and grow my faith muscles. I'm not going to come out of this thing the way I went into this thing. I'm going to come out of it better because my focus is going to be on growth, not just on survival. Can I get an amen from somebody? Listen, we have to focus, because if you're not focusing on your spiritual growth, no one else is. The Bible says that God's beckoning us. He's calling us. He wants us to draw near, but it's totally up to you. That's what free will does. You have the free will to get better in this time, to be better in this time, and to come out of this stronger than when you went into it. But that's your decision. It's my decision. We make the choice. Number six, we've got to keep dreaming for the future. Keep dreaming for future sake. Keep dreaming. Let dreams of your future produce hope. Keep planning your future. If I only focus again on today, it can sometimes just be a little depressing. I don't know where everyone else is living and what they see out their window, but it has been cold and dreary and rainy and gray. It has not helped our mandate stay at home quarantine. Okay? That has not been helpful. But if I can look beyond that, I know the sun's going to come back out tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow. Listen, we got to keep thinking about our tomorrows. Yeah, it's hard to preach in here when there's four people. And I would love for that to be an excuse because I would still be doing it if it was full. Sorry. If I only focus on today, it can be depressing. But if I allow my dreams of tomorrow to slip out of view, then I can begin to spin out of control. It's then hopelessness and anxiousness that become my reality. Even now, begin to squint. Can you do it? Can you squint to see the light at the end of the tunnel? Start breathing hope onto the desires you have for your tomorrows. Julie and I, we've already been planning our next trip. We have no clue when it is. We have no clue how long it's going to be. We don't know any of that. We just know we are leaving when we can. I'm like climbing the walls. And she's an introvert and she's done with it. Because I think the real key of this is that she normally is at home without people there. I think it's too people-y in our own house right now. But what I know is that we're already talking about what's our next thing going to be? Where are we going to go? Maybe it's just a day trip. Maybe it's a long weekend. Maybe it's like a see you later until I can't afford to be gone anymore. I don't know. But we are certainly thinking and dreaming and planning our tomorrows because it's breathing hope on our today. It's helping us get through it. Plan it. Leave it open-ended on the dates because we just don't know how long these dates are going to keep getting pushed back. But we're going to plan it. Let the hope of your future keep your spirits high. God already has plans for our future, and they're good, his word says. We know it in Jeremiah 29:11. You say, man, we say this scripture a lot. Yeah, we do. It's one to hold on to, especially in these times. But it's also been the memory verse in our kids' ministry. And so my kids are learning it. But it says this, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. So if God is saying, I still know your future is bright, start thinking of your bright future, not the grayness that you may be in right now. Are you getting this? Yes. Number seven, we need to choose to sow in the face of uncertainty. What do I mean by sow? Farmers, they sow seed for the sake of their future harvest, don't they? In Proverbs 11, it says this, one person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. Listen, understanding God's call to trust in him in every season resolves the question of how do I live in this season? Did you hear me? Because if we know that God is saying, trust me, take that next step, we go, God, it was easier for me to take that next step 3 weeks ago, but now things look uncertain. And God goes, yeah, but I'm still God. If I will continue to just continue to trust God, even in this season, if I'll continue to sow in the face of uncertainty for my future's sake, then two things happen. Firstly, I'm staying obedient to God, which is always a blessing. Secondly, wherever my treasure is, my heart is also. What I'm trying to get you to understand something real quick. If my treasure is in the future because I'm sowing for the future, my heart is also thinking future and it keeps me from being stuck in today. If I'll sow for the sake of my future, for the sake of our future, for the sake of those who need a future, for those that don't have as much, for those that are struggling, if I'll continue to sow, it says where my treasure is, my heart will be also. Man, I'm sowing for the sake of our future. Even in the uncertain times, overcome your fear of lack of control by controlling what you can. What am I saying? Look, we can't control everything, but I can control how I'm going to choose to live in this day, in this age. I'm going to choose how I'm going to control how I'm obedient to God's word. I'm going to choose to make sure that what he's called me to do, regardless of how much harder it may seem, he's still God, and I'm going to sow in the face of uncertainty. Are you getting this? And so farmers understand how important it is to get the seed in the ground for the sake of their future. Like them, I want to be thinking of the long run, not the short term. I will be faithful with my first fruits. Look, you know, I was just talking to a friend and they just mentioned that their whole business or their whole company just took a certain percentage cut across the board. And I know that this time is hard on everybody. And so, listen, I'm just saying with what I have, I'm going to be faithful. Right? And so what does that mean? Even if my pay drops, I'll adjust my tithe, but I'm going to bring my gift to the altar as God called it. I will sow for the sake of God's blessing on the present and my future, because it's not just one or the other. It's both. It's one and, not one or. Yes? Look what it says in Luke. It says, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. Yeah, I was saying it earlier, and then I wanted you to see that it actually is there. What I'm saying is if we keep thinking of the future, if we keep sowing for the future, we'll get beyond today very quickly. We support a number of things that happen around the world, but one of the ones dearest to my heart is Africa and in Zimbabwe and all the things that we do there, supporting an AIDS orphanage and supporting a number of village churches and seeing kids educated and fed and clothed and just amazing things that we're doing. But I'll tell you, until I started sowing in Africa, I never thought about Africa. Until I decided to start sowing there, my heart wasn't there. But the minute it had my treasure, it had my heart also. Are you getting this? Some of you just say, well, you know, when it comes to God, I don't really, I want him to think of me. I want him to be nice to me, but I don't really, when it comes to his house, I'm glad that somebody put something on social media to make me feel better. But look, the minute you start to sow into God's house, you care about what God's house is doing, who it's reaching, how good it's going, how what's coming out of the house. All of a sudden, it lights a fire on the inside. Your treasure is the key to your heart. And you say, well, that sounds like all I care about is money. I'm not saying that's all you care about, but the minute someone tries to take it, see what happens. It truly is a treasure, isn't it? And so if you choose to sow seeds for the future, then you will stay future focused. You know, in this time, when I look at where I'm sowing my seeds in this uncertain time, is my heart in the house of God or is it more on toilet paper and milk? You don't understand. I need 80 rolls. Do you need 80 rolls? Here. Whew. I just almost said something that would have been bad, and this is live, so I can't edit it. But all I'm just saying is that your tithe on that roll? What are you doing with your tithe? I'm just going to leave it there. But listen to this. Number 8, because we got to move on for sure. I am dangerous when no one's here. Number 8, we've got to love our neighbor. Love our neighbor. We have a time here where we can actually do more for God than when we just assembled together on Sunday. Because there are more people open to hear more about who God is and why you have hope today than there was yesterday. It's a very interesting time we live, and we have the ability. I think a lot about heroes, and I know this seems like it'll pull right back in, but we love our military, don't we? As a country, we honor and support those serving or those that have served. We've got such appreciation for people that were willing to do whatever it took for us. They were willing to do whatever. And I think oftentimes when I read about, I like reading history. It's one of the things that I do. I'm trying to not be illiterate to history, as we talked about earlier. But I read a lot of, interviews with people that have received medals of honor. And oftentimes what's most interesting is that they weren't trying to be heroic. They just were trying to keep the person to their left and their right safe. They were just trying to love their neighbor and they became heroes. When I think about the scripture and what God tells us to do, he wants us to live a heroic life, but not to try hard, just to care about who's to our left and our right. He just wants us to be focused on our neighbors. And in these times, we can't control everything, but we can look to our left and our right. We can look to love on our neighbors as Christ commanded, because it wasn't a recommendation. He didn't recommend, he commanded, yes? And so let's shine through the darkness so they can see it through social distancing. You're going to have to shine brighter when everyone's a little further. I don't know if you get this, but it's not as easy just to walk over and knock on your neighbor's door and say, hey, I'd love to talk to you for a little bit. That's just not welcome. They don't even want you coming over to ask for sugar. They want to wave through a glass pane right now. They want the social distancing, but it doesn't mean that we don't have an ability to still shine. You know, I've got amazing neighbors. I live in a great neighborhood, and one of my neighbors is elderly, and so we check on her from time to time, and my kids have been doing artwork for her, just loving on her. Because we know all of her kids have grown up and her grandkids don't come over as often as maybe she would like. But listen, we have the ability to fill the gap. I don't know what your neighbors need, but I know that God's put it in you to care. So where's your care? Are your cares on the things of this world? Or is that why he told us to cast our cares on him so that we could care about what's important? Because our cares of our world are not as important as the cares of those to our left and our right that God cares about. He wants us to cast our cares on him so that our cares can shift to what he sees are important. He'll take care of our needs, but he wants us to take care of others' needs, to be like him. That's what this is about. And so check on your neighbors. Fight the fears in your own heart. Get on your knees and pray until something changes inside of you. Because you know what? I know we're all dealing with something to this or to that. I was talking with somebody recently and I said, because church has changed so much, right now this could be a TV show. I didn't get into ministry to become a televangelist. That just wasn't what I did. I got into ministry because of people. And when I look around here, there's not many people. And so it can become a struggle. And so I was talking to this person and I said, man, I'm trying so hard to make sure that I continue to have a pastor's heart, not a producer's heart. I'm not just trying to produce something. I want to make sure it's still about the people on the other end, and other people are dealing with this differently. I can't project just how I feel about it and say everyone else has to feel about it the same way, nor can I hear somebody else and say that's not valid. Regardless of whether I think information backs it or not, it's still true in their hearts and what they're going through. And we've got to make sure that we're looking to love on people and to help them through these situations, and you can help without having all the answers. Dr. Fauci doesn't even have all the answers. Nobody has all the answers, but God does. And you have God. So you have the ability to be a world changer. But you're not going to do it if you don't love your neighbor. So don't get back up from your prayer. Don't get back up until something has changed inside of you, until you see your God bigger than this situation. And then go give someone else the hope you just received while you were in prayer. The best way to love your neighbors, your friends, and family in this time is to stabilize their uncertainty, wow, that's a fun word, uncertainty, by having some certainty of your own. The best way to help them with their uncertainty is you having some form of certainty. And you can't be certain about everything else, but you can be certain of God regardless of what everything else looks like. We're all just looking for a regular cup of Joe. We're all just looking for our regular normalcy in life. And some people, they're not being able to see things as they are because they are so panic-stricken. But we have the ability to have a certainty in God and share that. So be a voice of hope, not an echo of fear. Luke 10 says this, "The man answered, 'You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength, and all your minds, and love your neighbor as yourself.'" This is what was so interesting, because the person that said this to Jesus, because Jesus said, "What's the word say?" And he said, "This is what I'm supposed to do if I want to inherit heaven." And Jesus ends up saying, "What you said is good." And then the guy goes on to say, "But who's my neighbor?" Almost trying to qualify what he does have to do and what he doesn't have to do. Trying to qualify that he actually is doing it. And then Jesus ends up telling this amazing parable that is, I mean, it's famous. It's the parable of the Good Samaritan. And what is that about? It's just about somebody that got jumped on the road to Jerusalem. And what ends up happening is he's stripped and he's hurt and he's wounded and he's on the road. And as these people come by that should be good, loving, God-fearing people, you know, you've got the higher, you know, the high priests walking by. And instead of going to help this person, they cross the street and walk on the other side. And then you've got the Levites, which was the chosen tribe of Israel. Israel to be God's priests. And these are the thoroughbred, I would say, of the people that are supposed to be presenting God on God's behalf. And they cross the street and walk away. And then it ends up being this Samaritan who no one is supposed to really spend time with. They're a lower class people in that day and age. Something that the Jews were not supposed to spend time with. But yet he has pity and has mercy, and he ends up taking him and putting him on his own animal and bringing him to an inn and paying for it and taking care of the man. And Jesus takes his time to say, who was more of a neighbor? Who loved him better? And it was hard in that day for the person who happened to be the church noble of the time, so to speak, to have to answer that, because what he's saying is, in that story, my people weren't loving the neighbor, but it was the one that everyone thinks less of that was. All I'm saying is, use your eyes, do what's right, because that's what God's going to be thinking about. That's what God is going to eventually. We're going to stand before God one day, and it's going to be based on how we lived, not what we intended. Number 9, as I land this plane, we need to remember God is in control. The best way to stay faithful while in free fall is to remember all that is out of my control is within his control. All that is out of my control is within his control. God is the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. I love what Hebrews 12 says. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus did it. He's done everything we need for salvation. He's done everything we need to be able to put our trust and faith in him. Our God, he's faithful. We need to remember that he's in control, that everything's going to be okay, that we're going to get through this, not because of us, but because of God in us. All things are possible, not just because they're possible, but because God is for us. We can trust God, and we will get through this. One of my favorite scriptures of all times, as I close, it's found in John 16. And everything I've taught you is so that the peace which is in me will be in you and will give you great confidence as you rest in me. For in this unbelieving world, you will experience trouble and sorrows. But you must be courageous, for I have conquered the world. Exclamation point. Jesus told us up front. He told us, look, you're going to deal with struggles. You're going to have sorrows. There's going to be pain. There's going to be heartache. There's going to be hurt. There's going to be trouble. But I want you to take heart. I want you to have courage, because I've already overcome the world. Today, whatever you face, whatever hardship, whatever struggle, whatever wall you have in your mind that you can't get through, I need to tell you, God, he told us we were going to deal with these struggles, but Jesus has already conquered it. He's already overcome the world. And we say, Chad, that's big words. Well, what does that mean for me right now? What it means is I can have faith in Jesus that everything's going to turn out all right, because the Bible tells me that all things will work together for the good of those who believe. I don't know why this is happening, and many things aren't good about this. Many things here look like sorrows. They look like struggles. They look like trouble. But Jesus already forewarned us that. He said it's going to come. But he said for us to take courage. So although we feel like we're in a free fall, although we feel like this is just some crazy trust fall, we can trust our God's hands. We can trust Jesus, not just for the here and now, but for an eternity with him in heaven. Would you bow your heads?
We hope you've enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church.